Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Back to winter. I thought we had finally hit spring. Obviously, we didn't. But that's beware the eyes of March. Today, we're going to really dig deep, as we always do. And I want to talk to you about candida. Grossly misunderstood. Everybody's had, especially the ladies, a candida infection, a yeast infection, a fungal infection. Guys, if you're listening, don't hang up. And the reason is, fungus isn't just candida. We want to get a little bit of microbiology into you today. You need it to prosper in a world dominated by anaerobes, in a world dominated by microbes, more than you think. You don't see them for thousands of years. We couldn't see them, but we knew they were there. And if you go back into ancient history and you study medicine, you find out that it was speculated that invisible little things, and every culture had its way of describing them, were responsible for illness. So 10,000, 5,000, 2,000 years ago, before we had the advantages of the microscope, the medical doctors of their day speculated that aside from the spiritual causes of illness, again, this is where the mind went, and oddly enough, it was often right, but this is where the mind went when it couldn't see things like yeast, like viruses, like bacteria, like parasites. It went to the spiritual entities. Aside, and this is what's fascinating, from the spiritual entities, ancient medicine often speculated about tiny little invisible entities, particles, that they started to create a perception of much like the microbe. That's right, back in Hippocrates' time, Galen's time, the ancient doctors were speculating upon the presence of these unseen little goblins. During the 1800s, when Louis Pasteur, so we're going to start a little history, Louis Pasteur started to advise his colleagues that they had discovered microbes, things that you could see under the microscope. Remember van Leeuwenhoek, the Dutch microbiologist that invented the microscope, onto then the Pasteur, what would become the Pasteur Institute in the mid and early 1800s. And the word hitting America and England that we had discovered these little things that up till then no one could see, only speculate about. And Pasteur, of course, famous for telling his fellow colleagues to wash their hands and sterilize, boil in water, sterilize their equipment, their medical equipment when delivering babies. Back then, when you delivered a baby as the country doctor, the medical doctor, you would go from house to house. So if you delivered 2-3 babies in a day, believe it or not, often you didn't even wash your hands. Believe it or not, things like sterilization were unknown. Why? Because nobody respected these invisible little particles. And Pasteur, and this is what's most fascinating, was criticized, condemned, almost burned at the stake. This is in the 1830s, for telling his fellow medical doctors to sterilize their baby delivery equipment. Think about that. Back then, again, an era now today where everything is about the microbe. And when the microbe first emerged on the scene and was new, Pasteur's colleagues wanted him thrown out of medicine. You know, the only reason we know the name Pasteur today is not because of his microbial theory. It's because he saved the sheep population in southern France from anthrax. Pasteur, understanding anthrax, the microbe that killed sheep, and of course, the southern French economy was built off the sheep, at least back then. And the sheep were all dying in gross numbers, being decimated by the anthrax microbe. And of course, that's it for France. And the king couldn't handle that type of shock to the economy. And there was Pasteur, who summoned up through his microbial intelligence a way out of that. He advised farmers what to do to prevent the anthrax infection, et cetera, et cetera. And he saved the population of sheep in southern France. For this, and understandably, Pasteur was heralded as the second king of France. So when he came along with this microbial theory, wash your hands when you deliver babies and sterilize your equipment, the only reason he was not thrown out of medicine is because he had saved the sheep population already. Little known historical fact that really gives perspective. Now here's the point, and here's how it relates to Candida, to yeast, to fungus, to this book I'm going to talk about in a moment. There was another guy, a colleague of Pasteur, named Metchnikoff. And Metchnikoff was also interested in microbes. In fact, there was a whole consortium of doctors who were also interested in microbes. That was the hot new thing. Stuff you couldn't see that controlled the populations of animals critical to the prosperity of European economies, and these things that we couldn't see, now we could see. And this was huge. Put yourself there back then. People dying by the hordes, populations of animals and people being decimated, histories of infections like the plague, rabies, tuberculosis, the venereal diseases, pneumonia, all the deaths of the infant and the mom at birth. Completely different world. And all of a sudden, this technology delivers us a way to see these things. The natural human mindset is going to be to kill them. We find them and we kill them. We've isolated the microbe and we go after it. Even back then, in the 1840s, other doctors were there, Metchnikoff being one of them, saying, no, 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 don't kill them. Change the terrain that they live in and let them die because there's nothing there for them to live on. And that was the beginning of it. But you have to understand the human mindset. And by the time the infectious disease a la Pasteur set forth, you have to understand that the human mindset is very oriented along that analytical, rational, linear, mechanistic perception of how to approach the world. Find it, isolate it, analyze it, create a weapon of mass destruction, drop it on the enemy territory, and kill it. And then the fight's done. And of course, what compounds matters, what makes them worth, is in 1928, there's a guy named Fleming. And Fleming is culturing Streptococcus. Streptococcus is a bacteria. Candida, or yeast, is a fungus. We'll get into those differences in a moment. But that microbe, that Streptococcus, in this dish that Fleming is culturing 100 years after Pasteur, noticing that in the part of the petri dish, there's certain streptococci that don't grow. That in part of that dish where we're growing these bugs, whole parts of the dish don't seem to grow the streptococcus. In fact, something else is growing there. Something else is competing with the streptococcus for the substrate in the petri dish. Something's outbidding it. Something's inhibiting the growth of Streptococcus. And sure enough, Fleming looked into that and found out that it was a fungus. a fungus, another animal, different than a bacteria, different than a virus, but that the fungus or the mold could inhibit the growth of Streptococcus. And so what Fleming did then is publish and prove it and reproduce it, and 12 years later, antibiotic theory is laid out upon the world. And all the hundreds and thousands and millions of people it saved. And that was not a bad thing. That was a good thing. So you see, to complicate matters, we've had this debate about, is it the microbe or is it the terrain that causes disease from the first day we published in Infectious Disease? There's only one problem with yeast and candida and fungus. There's only one problem with infectious disease theory, Pasteur's theory. It's wrong. It doesn't work. It's a boo-boo. It's a big mistake. And there's lots of other microbes that we could throw into that category. Remember one of the premises of this show. When you have to use antibiotics, and I don't care if they're IV antibiotics, although that's the last thing you want to do, is put antibiotics into your bloodstream. But when you have to do it, you have to do it. Stated otherwise, where were the herbalists in the 1800s while everyone was dying of infections? Where were the guys that were running around selling herbs, supplements, nutritional approaches, natural? Where were the natural healers when populations were being decimated? We had fertile soil. We had clean air. We had great farm food. We were delivering raw food, raw milk, raw cheese, raw eggs to doorsteps. Everyone was feasting on the best of the best. Well, where amidst that wonderful holistic community in the 1800s, in the 1700s, okay, were people protected against bacterial infections? Well, they were, but they weren't. See, so the evolution of infectious disease had great authenticity. It had great merit. And I believe that pharmaceutical drugs in intelligent application have great merit. Pneumonia at the turn of this century, 1900, pneumonia was within the top five causes of death among people, especially the elderly. After the age of 70, millions die of pneumonia. You're 75 or 80. It's 1870, you've had 10 children, your bone mass is gone, you fall and you break your hip, it's cold and it's wintry, and 2 weeks later you've got an infection in the lung, and that takes you. We don't worry about that as much today. And there's tons of examples. But candida, the subject of the show, yeast, fungus, we got that one wrong. That's when we should have listened to Metchnikoff. Okay? Okay. The germ versus the terrain. Age-old problem. And that we cannot grasp this, I want to take a moment to comment on. We're consistently dividing ourselves into camps. Don't do that. Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? And why can't we hybridize the good of each? Well, you see, that's not the human mindset. It's not the American mindset. You have to be one or you have to be the other. And then you have to put a star on your shirt, a sign on your door, a sticker on your car, and you have to attach your ego to it. And then you've got to go out there and argue and defend your position. And that ruins the extraction, the ability to borrow from the mindset of your opposition. And this is where we lose all the time. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. StraightTalk.cc on the website. Get to it. Get to the archives. Get to the subscription. Those of you who listen regularly, please get to the radio literature section. It's a home. It's a tab on the home page. I put pictures of fungus in people's blood. When you come down to the office, I take a little drop of blood, put it on a slide, put that up on a TV screen, and you can see.